does reply something like this. This is nonsense. What you need is love of God. Here's how you're going to get love of God. Put that car pooja thing in your back pocket and get down to the real deal. Send our fish down. Go back to Godhead. Punch your heart, man. I remember when Jai Jagannath told me, I thought, I think that was a little abrupt for a person coming in the door. No, he liked it. And this car has been sanctified and blessed millions of times more as a result because of it's being used only in Krishna's service. That's the real blessing.
The one outside in front of the house.
That's the one that you drove. Yeah. It used to be Himanshu's, now it's Krishna's. That's how to sanctify things. I don't know so much about these things at all, either. I do know that in the Mayapur Academy, I don't think they teach motorcycle puja and car puja, but they teach sat kriya divika, how to perform rituals, and it's quite like that which is auspicious, Ekadasi Day, has a Karmakanda approach to it, and there is a Vaishnava approach to it. So, at least the 10 samskaras that are the juncture points or transition points of the soul journeying throughout life. For the materialist, it's how to go from this stage to that stage and achieve material prosperity, according to the position, well-being and prosperity, health and good fortune and all those materially apparently attractive things. I learned this from my study of Sri Brahma Samhita, that Durga, that's described in the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's purport, that Durga has 10 arms, and each of those 10 arms has a weapon. And the 10 arms represent the 10 samskaras. Now for the materialists, those that are performing Karmakanda rituals, and they have a Karmakanda priest that does their Karmakanda rituals and makes their life auspicious, it's considered auspicious. It's considered to be what religious people do. Like in Guyana. Isn't it? Those of you that haven't visited Guyana, it's the same in Trinidad? Same?
Yes.
So, the Hindu priest, you know who's Hindus because they have in the front these skinny poles with different flags of different colors. And the people that are really pious, they've got like a whole yard full of poles with flags. Because the priest has come and done so many pujas, and which of course they pay for, and that's his maintenance. And pious people give to the brahmanas to do the rituals for their prosperity. And people that are prosperous Hindus, they do this. So it's for material elevation, in other words. Prabhupada's description is like this, going along the lines of what Jai Jagannath said to Himanshu. Durga has 10 weapons in each of the 10 arms. So, whatever the first, second, third, fourth, if you can somehow escape her chopper, she'll get you with a sword. If you can escape her sword, she'll get you with her arrow. If you escape her arrow, she'll get you with her trident. If you escape her trident, she'll get you with one of them. And somehow, if you manage to bypass all 10 of them, the lion will get you. You're finished. Durga is invincible. But these arms, they represent the limbs of what a pious person does. On the other hand, or the other paradigm is each of these are for bringing one out of the cycle of birth and death and closer, an auspicious beginning to move from this position to that position of the soul's journey, invoking and inviting and awakening attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, each one for such purpose. And those who translated Sat Kriyantipika, of course, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, being Gopal Bhatta Goswami, even just from the sake of his being the son of the chief priest of Sri Rangam, a Sri Vaishnava, who has no interest in anything related to demigod worship. Sri Vaishnavas are very strict in this regard. The purpose is certainly not material elevation. The purpose is certainly awakening of Krishna consciousness. Yet he took the mantras for those rituals largely from a certain one of the four Vedas. Not the Rig Veda, but I forget.
Samaveda.
Samaveda. Are you familiar with it?
Well, it's in the procedure, it says.
Oh.
It says, this is according to the followers of the Samaveda.
Okay. You study that stuff?
No, it's just in the text that this was sent to me by Jagannatha Prabhu.
Okay.
At the end of the Samaveda. Okay.
So, the Samaveda is one of the sources of karma rituals. So he took those terms, and very much like what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did with the study of grammar, he just withdrew the demigod names and put names of the Supreme Lord or the associates of the Supreme Lord. So we're very much like what we do. We have our Mangalacharan prayers, and that's what I got raised doing, and so I don't know too much other than that. I don't really wish to know too much other than that. It's the same thing. We're just invoking names of the Supreme Lord and his devotees. In our case, it's our disciplic line. And then, you know, the Panchatattva and Srimati Radharani and the three principal deities of Sambandha, Avideya, and Prayojana, and so forth. The prayers that go along with it. This is what the introduction says, because I haven't studied it. But it's invoking those names for auspiciousness. Following the same mantra, just withdraw the demigod's name and put in the associate of the Lord's name in the spiritual world. Like the example is given is Vishvaksena. And Vishvaksena is the commander-in-chief of the Lord of Vaikuntha. He did, what does he have need an army for, Vaikuntha? There's no enemies to defend against, but he's got a commander-in-chief anyways. That's his service. So his name is mentioned sometimes in these mantras. So it's invoking auspiciousness for the soul's journey towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And similarly, when we do some... What mantras did you chant when you did your yajna? There are certain standard mantras?
Yes. For each one, there is Goswami certainly there are certain ones. And of course, as you said, that is Vishvakshana, because the Karmakandi, they just chant Ganesh mantras, but then, as you just now explained, that is beginning with the Vishvakshana and those things.
Okay.
And Mangalacharna.
So, that's the housewarming part. It's by calling names, of course, it becomes very simple. If you just chant Hare Krishna, it's very simple. It's appropriate in all circumstances. In all circumstances. There's two versions, as a for example, there's two versions of, I was describing once what my experience was of the installation of Krishna Balaram, and as I was speaking, or at, maybe it was afterwards, Vishakha, Yadavar's wife, Vishakha, spoke with me, and it, you know, I had a very opposite appreciation of the yajna. The yajna, the way that I saw the yajna happening, it was a three-day yajna, and the way that priests perform their duties in yajna, there's some that are expert in reciting the mantra, there's some that are expert in doing the ritual itself, and some others that are expert in the meter and the voice inflection and all of that. And then there's another one that's a referee. And when the referee blows his whistle, like says, stop, wait a minute, you have to go back and redo it. And so, because if you do anything that's not correct, it doesn't have the full effect, or it can have even the opposite effect. So he was, didn't literally have a whistle, but he would intervene, and then he would then have to rewind and do again the part that, you know, that wasn't exact, precise. And these were, these persons that were doing the yajna were not the assistants of the Goswamis, but they were the present, at their current at that time, Goswamis of Vrindavan, you know, the chief people of all of Vrindavan who are knowledgeable in rituals. It was very natural and very brilliant for Prabhupada to ask the Goswamis to do the installation, so later on they couldn't say, they couldn't poo-poo the installation. Hmm. You guys didn't do it right. They couldn't say that. Well, we did it right. That's what they would have to say. So there wouldn't be any question of that feature. But on the side, there was kirtan. Now, my observation, because I was part of the time was sitting in Prabhupada's quarters, and because in the afternoon he would regularly do this, receive guests and if there were noteworthy personalities or VIP personalities, there would be some discussion with them directly and other people in the room, and if not, then it was just a general discussion. So he was, in this case, a general discussion asking about the yajna, how were things proceeding, that kind of exchange. And then he went on to say that the real purification is the Sankirtan. Now he didn't comment about the mistakes in the rewind and then doing it over again. But I was putting those two together, the real purification, because the essence of the ritual is not, you know, the color of the flag or the direction that things are in, although those are necessary when doing the ritual. You must have, the ingredients must be precise, so many inches, that whole thing, very precise. But niyamatak smaradena kalaha, with the chanting of the holy name, there's no yamas and niyamas. There's no rules and restrictions. It's smaradena kalaha. You chant the holy name and remember the holy name and engage in at all times. It's so that the holy name is so merciful. And after all, the name of the Supreme Lord is the essence of everything. At the same time, we, in Vaishnava tradition, we observe rituals. Certainly we observe rituals with our deity worship, and we observe rituals with our Guru Puja, and as anybody that's lived in our temples know, when student groups come, they want to come at the time when you're, quote, doing your rituals. The ritual of greeting the deities, everybody bows down, oh, that's cool, they get their notebook out. And then they, you know, go sip something over there in that bowl, that's another ritual. And then the Guru Puja ritual, the Jairana Madhava ritual, and the Bhagavatam ritual, and then the Prasadam ritual. And, you know, as far as they're concerned, that's like the substance of our religion is the rituals. But there is a place for them, for sure. But the essence of them is invoking, making an impression, a strong impression, in our consciousness of remembrance of the personality of Godhead. And it's especially important and appropriate As the soul is journeying from one situation to the next situation, getting your first motorcycle, in your first car. And it's nonsense for most people because it's just like legitimizing or authorizing their life of licentiousness. Let this be auspiciously utilized in self-gratification. That's the nonsense part. And if it's not the nonsense part, then just, you know, sit in your car and chant 64 rounds or, you know, something. You chant the whole game. Chant. May Krishna bless the heart and the soul within the body to utilize this facility that Krishna has given exclusively in his service, as is the principle of housewarming. And the ritual involved in this, to invoke the beginning of some activity in mindfulness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that inauspiciousness is driven, that's, you know, a matter of consciousness, inauspiciousness is driven from the heart, and fixing consciousness on utilization of this next chapter of the soul's journey to dedication to the service of the Personality of Godhead. Now, Ramayana. I was thinking, just in the ritual part, when the misfortune, or apparent misfortune, that Ram was banished, and of course leaving Ayodhya was very, very difficult for the citizens of Ayodhya. Of course, for Ram, it was his lila to uphold it as a virtuous son, to uphold the word of his father, honor the word of his father, honor the word of someone else, the one who is your superior. Is this referred to again and again as my worshipful Lord, the Father, is seen in that way in Vedic culture, in a super ideal sense. And so to forego one's own rightful position of being situated in the world with just the law of progenitor, it's law. It's God's law, and it's man's law, and it's king's law, and he's the rightful heir to the throne. And even if his father said, no, I'm not going to honor the law, because I gave my word that I wouldn't honor the law, he could easily have invoked, well, you know, that's interesting, but our law says primal progenitor, and it's our kingdom, and the laws of the land have worked for generation from generation to generation, whatever your Protestant had been to Kankini. He easily could have done any of those things, and Dasrath was hoping he would. So he could keep his word. And keep the one of the issues of keeping one's word is the destiny of the soul. Because the soul that gives one's word and then breaks one's word, well, not a good future, not a good destination for the soul, because it's violation of a basic principle. I mean, even in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not lie, etc. That it, besides, you know, it's not nice, it's sinful. It's a violation of a basic tenet of virtuous life. And if one, especially a king, violates his word, he'll not attain heaven. He must keep his word. Besides, it's chivalrous to do so. You give your word, you keep your word. we're not Kshatriyas. I was trained in Krishna consciousness. Now, this isn't exactly what Prabhupada said, as far as I know. It's something that I heard again and again and again and again from these those who I was associating with. A man is only as good as his word. You give your word, you keep your word. It's like some of the discussions we've had about building trust. One of the sure ways to be untrustworthy is give your word and don't keep it. And then give your word and don't keep it. And give your word and don't keep it. And then what's going to happen? I mean, if you just do it once, or to speak it repeatedly, you're not a trustworthy person. People, you're not worthy of person's trust. You say something, it doesn't mean anything. But then when there's a trustworthy person, they say, I give you my word. They'll give up their life before they break their word, or they'll go to the person who they gave the promise to. It's like when Draupadi told Arjuna, I release you from your word. You gave your word to me that I will bring Ashwatthama and you to perform the funeral ceremony for your son standing in his head. I release you from your promise. It was promised to me, I release you from it. Don't kill him. So if the person who you made some promise to releases you from the promise because circumstances are beyond my control, Prabhu, I wanted to, and I've been trying, it's just not, circumstances are such as not possible. Please release me for that promise. Yeah, sure, okay. Then it's okay. But if they say, no, you must do it. Somehow you must do it. At least the spirit to uphold your word is a character of a trustworthy person. So be careful what you give your word to. But when you give your word to something, you keep your word. Period. So, for Ram to uphold the word of his father at the sacrifice of not only I won't be the king, but I'm in exile. The exile is an indication of like bad person is sent in exile. So you're in exile for 14 years. Sure. I really like the passage when Kaikeyi delivers, the promise of Dasarath to Ram. And Ram looks at her, their narration reads, he looked at her with unblinking eyes and said very softly, is that all, Mother? If there's any disturbance for my father, that I will keep my word. Please understand, I'll leave before the sun sets, tonight, this very day. I'm gone. Why is there some worry that I'll keep my word? So when they're leaving, although the citizens are in great distress, When before even the citizens are in great distress, Lakshman is in great distress. And he reasons, I don't know how quickly our thought process could get so collected so quickly, like Ram's. But he said, this completely unnatural behavior of Kaikeyi indicates it must be an act of providence. Because, Lakshman, you were there, you heard Kaikeyi say, although I have great affection for Bharat, I have even greater affection for Ram. Not only do I see him as my own son, I see him more affectionately than I see my own son. And what mothers have that feeling, and consistently her conduct was like that. And now here comes this other kind of speech and conduct, so don't blame her, Lakshman, don't blame her. It's just some act of providence. We may not understand the act of providence, but just accept it. And somehow within that act of providence, there's good fortune for everyone. And similarly, when Bharat, after coming back and seeing his father dead and hearing from Kaikeyi her evil plan, spoke such strong words to Kaikeyi, yikes. I renounce here and now any connection with you. You are no longer my mother. I don't want to even see your face. And walked out of her chamber. But so later, after the funeral arrangement for his father, he set off to, determined to bring Ram back. When he reached the hermitage of Bharadraj Muni, after hearing from Guha his doubt whether Bharat was doing the right thing, had the right motive. Bharadraj Muni similarly said, you know, are you interested in ensuring the fact that the kingdom will be yours and there'll be no rivalry from Ram? And he was so horrified to hear these words from the sages. And he had introduced the three queens, and when he spoke Kaikeyi's name, he was in disdain. And Bharadraj similarly said, don't speak this way about your mother and the role that she has played. Ultimately, everything is the interest of the Supreme. Even in these reversals, difficult, extremely difficult circumstances of life, the utterance of Bharadraj, I like this statement, that the will of the Supreme is being carried out, so don't blame a person for being the instrument of the will of the Supreme. And as they were crossing the Ganges with Guha, prayers were being offered by Sita. May the auspiciousness of our journey into the forest for 14 years be blessed by you. Not like, you know, may no rattlesnake come bite us, or no mosquito bites, please, or no difficulty or hardships, but may there be auspiciousness in our time spent fulfilling the pledge of Dasara. Reaching the other side, Sita turning in all directions, invoking the gods and the elements and so forth. Please give your blessings that our time spent in this wonderful forest be transcendentally auspicious. As devotees, or aspiring devotees, seeing the hand of Krishna, or the will of Krishna, or the presence of Krishna within all things, it's certainly there in Bhagavad Gita teaching that one should see Krishna within all things. And theoretically is one thing, and reading or reciting verses from Bhagavad Gita similarly is, that's nice. But then acting in that consciousness, seeing Krishna within all things, that requires commencing our activity in a proper way and continuing keeping our consciousness, our minds thinking of Krishna and absorbed in remaining in a mood of service to him throughout all the trials and tribulations and trying circumstances. In the middle of the night, so many nights in a row, the child is crying, remember, ah, Krishna is so funny. How nice. I can say that, I don't have to hear the crying. at somebody else's service. I've got another kind of prana. When Bharat came back, the Valmiki narrates that his mind was completely pure. And he's asking, he sees Kaikeyi, he doesn't see Dasaratha. So he asks, where's Dasaratha? And she, in her own special way, lets him know that Dasaratha has left this world just before he returned. And of course Bharat is very unhappy. And I wasn't able to be here. What were his parting words? Did he give some instruction for me? And Kaikeyi said, no, there wasn't any direct instruction for you. But his last words were, Rama, Lakshman, Sita. And then he passed away, went to the higher worlds. So, very Krishna conscious, Dasaratha, despite the circumstance of difficulty, having only one shelter. Of course, in the Leela, it's his son, but for us, it's the personality of Godhead. Having only one shelter. And we, as we're cultivating Krishna consciousness, we try to invoke that by auspicious sound vibration, primarily the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and these other rituals that we observe for a similar purpose. And in the middle, when the highs and the lows and the everything else that is going on, remember the purpose, invoke the purpose, chanting of our Maha Mantra very carefully, diligently. I was just in New York. Some of you, I think, know Rishikesh Ananda. No? Yes. You know? He's quite old. He's from Guyana. Do you know Rishikesh Ananda? You don't know? Probably know some of his grandchildren or something like that. he's old and his body is kind of, I don't think he has Parkinson's, but he's not fully in control of his body like he used to be. And he was just describing his life has completely changed. When he went to Vrindavan to attend the yatra, he was there for the Vrindavan yatra, his wife came, really hadn't taken much interest in Krishna consciousness, although he gently tried to encourage her, she didn't. But from that time she's been chanting, now not only chanting Hare Krishna mantra, but chanting 20 and 25 rounds. And that day he had chanted 148 rounds. Every day he's chanting well over 100 rounds. He said, I find such happiness in chanting. I mean, this is towards the final stages of his life. So it's not just piety, but it's a happiness in chanting of the holy name. If we can come to that stage when we're feeble, or kind of get into the feeble stage, we'll be more than blessed. And to help us get there, beginning different stages of life, consciously, conscientiously, with remembrance of the purpose of the ultimate journey of the soul, and then at each stage, the juncture from this to that to the next, invoking auspiciousness to reach the goal, keeping good association with devotees, How close are you to the temple from here?
45 minutes from either center.
Really? Equidistant?
Pretty much.
Pretty much? Why'd you pick here?
I didn't. I mean, my father bought this house.
So okay.
Fixed it up.
Okay.
It was convenient. So.
Okay. Is your mom here?
She might be. Oh.
Did you help pick the house?
No. Dad knows all about it.
Okay.
He's buying up
different houses and then fixing them. Uh-huh. Do you like the house?
Yeah.
Yeah?
She's happy for Pat and his daughter.
She's happy for us.
Okay. You're happy for Pat and his daughter, okay.
No, that they got their new digs.
Just in the nick of time, too.
Yes.
And you're going to come pay a visit every now and then? Or lots of time? Or when you can?
When I can.
Okay. I'm sure they'll be happy to have you come. So let's do the name giving. Well, better think of a name real fast. Well, did we have some email exchange on this? About name?
No, not the specific.
Huh?
Not the specific.
Just the concept that I would be doing the name.
I selected.
You did. Really? Ooh. She likes it too? Not exactly.
No, she. I wasn't so.
She doesn't even know.
No, I wasn't so sold on it, and she likes it more than I do.
What should we do? Can you give an explanation of the inspiration behind the name?
Well, I read it in Chaitanya Bhagavan like 3 years ago and I liked it.
So. Oh, you liked it?
Yeah, then I told her she liked it more than I did. So.
And what is it that you like about the name?
It's hard to put into words.
Okay.
Strong.
Huh?
Strong.
Strong. What do you like about the name? Huh?
It seems like it suits him.
Suits him. You got his personality down already? Huh? Like his father? Okay. But what about the softness of his mother? That's the Gaura part, huh? Munificent. Yeah? Or you're Simha also.
Gaura Simha.
So the name is Gaura Simha. Yeah? Gaura Simha. Name of Lord Chaitanya. Fantastic. Sylvia?
Thank you, Maya.
Now that's going to go on his birth certificate? Really?
It already is.
It already is. Okay.
They make you do that before you leave the hospital, so.
And the baby's health as well as mother's health? No problems? No complications? No turning blue or any of those things?
It's a voracious appetite.
Yeah.
Doesn't stop.
Yeah. You have a passage?
No. Well, I have something very close to it, though. That's from the CC. Thus, the lion-like Lord Chaitanya has appeared in Navadvipa. He has the shoulders of a lion, the powers of a lion, and the loud voice of a lion. May that lion be seated in the core of the heart of every living being. Thus, with his resounding roar, may he drive away one's elephantine vices.
Yeah, because that's the reference that I'm familiar with. But what's the word in Bengali?
Yeah, it says Sima, but it's not. It doesn't say Lord Sima together here.
See if you can find it in Chaitanya Bhagavad.
It says Chaitanya Sunhara. Yeah, okay, that was taking a little more time. I don't know how much time about it here.
You can get it on.
Have it in the place still.
Type in database.
Database.com?
No.
So, anybody want to add something? Discuss something? Question something? Well, let's just have your time. Yeah.
This is from Chaitanya Bhagavat Antakanda, chapter 1, verse 110. It's Matasana Praya Chalena Gaur Sima Pache Dali Daivena Sabha Charanana Bringa. The lion like Gauranga walked like a maddened lion, and the bee like servants of his lotus feet followed behind.
That's his mother. You pick the name.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I find it interesting, like, when hearing about Lord Ramchandra, we hear about his, I don't know, oftentimes about his truthfulness.
Yeah.
And in Krishna Lila, we hear about his willingness to break his word, moved by love for his devotees. And I remember reading, I think in the first canto, chapter 8, where Prabhupada says that Krishna was more interested in being remembered as Bhakta Vatsalya and not as one who never breaks his solemn vow. And so I find that contrast interesting between Krishna's personality and Ramchandra's personality. But with his devotees, he's very particular that they should always keep their word. And I'm thinking of Lord Chaitanya with Gadadhar Pandit.
Yeah.
And Gadadhar Pandit was wanting to break his word, and Lord Chaitanya was very strict that he should not do so, even though enduring pain for that, he accepted pain to see that Gadadhar Pandit's word should be kept up. And then there's a section of verses Kaviraj Goswami says that this is very important for the followers of Lord Chaitanya's son. So I was just thinking about all these thoughts. I don't know if I have an exact question, but all these thoughts are running through my mind. Why is it that this point is so important for Krishna, for his devotee, whereas for himself he's...
My realization is minuscule, but it goes like this. Ramchandra's Leela was one of the principal aspects of Ramchandra's Leela was the ideal king. So it's Leela, it's teaching morality, ethics above your own interest, above ethics, above any interest. It's that you're guided by Dharma. And of course, then it becomes a little complex. Well, which Dharma? Well, that was the argument of Lakshman. There's the obedience to your father's vow, your father's word, but then there's the Dharma that you're entitled to the throne. He can't make a promise against that one. That one supersedes the other one. So, you can break your father's word and by upholding a higher Dharma. So it's an issue of Ramchandra not breaking his word and holding others to their word. One of the bigger puzzles for me is how he slayed Bali from behind a tree, because he could have done it anyone a million different ways. Like, hey, Bali, stand up and fight, and, you know, Sapa, and he's done. But it was stand behind the tree and fire an arrow. And then, you know, Bali says, you know, this is sinful. And then he counters, no, not sinful, because what you did deserves death. And when one is dealing with an animal, when they hide behind a tree. So, and that's not a violation of Dharma. Mm. But he could have done it in a million different ways. That was how he chose. But in Ram's Leela, it's virtue. And upholding virtue. And the virtues, the king is an emblem of virtue. Like Yudhisthira, the emblem of virtue, Dharmaraj. The ideal king must be like that. Indicating, you know, aside from Leela, that those who are ruling must be virtuous and not the other kind. So, you know, the Kali Yuga version of a ruler is awful. But so it's the standard. Now, in Krishna's case, it's another Leela. He's still the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it's the Leela of sweetness. And the sweetness is his affection. He's controlled by the love of his devotee. As the Bhakta Vatsala is, his devotee is up here and he's down here. So for his devotee, he'll do whatever. He'll knock down trees to uphold the word of Narada. He'll do whatever to uphold the word of his devotee. Because he's Bhakta Vatsala. He'll protect Arjuna, he'll do whatever. I'll make him break his promise, Bhishma. I'll make him break his promise to protect his devotee, because he holds protecting his devotee over upholding his own word. That's Krishna's pastime. It's his mood. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela is very deep and very profound and not at all easy to put in any box or category. It's a transcendental. He's teaching the life of a devotee that comes to the stage of love for Krishna. So the clue to understand why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does what he does with his different devotees is for that reason, somehow, is to establish that. So while he told Gadadhar Pandit, go back, and Gadadhar Pandit defied him by saying, I don't worry, I won't travel with you. I'll go over there. So you won't get the blame for my breaking my vow. And then after and then later, now go back. But then coming back and saying, I couldn't go without Gadadhar permission. So I had to come back. It's affection. Then Gadadhar gives his permission. Okay, you go. And then come back. It's a attention of love. Like with Sanatana Goswami. And testing Sanatana Goswami to the point of breaking. And then curing his wedditches. And Haridas marveling at the whole thing.
You're the most
dear, beloved associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He orchestrated all of this just so that you had no other shelter and then he took away the problem. You're so dear to Lord Chaitanya. And the strictness of Jagatananda Pandit, with Chota Haridas, but then went to hear him singing. So it's this, he's teaching the behavior of one who can come to the stage of love for Krishna as he was experiencing, as he wanted to give the world love for Krishna. And that's the basis of his exchange. And with that special affection. All of them. Going against what, you know, at least externally, what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted to save his son-in-law. You know, he should die. showing his affection for Piyas because he related to Sarvabhauma Pachaya. It's the nature of the affection of Lord Chaitanya for his devotee. It's not always just doing what they want, and Bhakta Vatsala doesn't just mean somebody wants something, so you do that something, because that's his Bhakta Vatsala nature. But that which will bring them closer to the quality that gains one entrance into that intimate love for Krishna that Lord Chaitanya wished to give to the world. Not adequate understanding, but there's a theme to their leelas, and see the leelas through that lens. Okay, it's good time talking.